Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're back from England, so it's a live show tonight, this August the 1st, 2014. I don't know how it got to be August that fast.
I'm thinking it's Monday, so I'm not the one to talk to.
Since we've only been back a couple of days, and we're still on jet lag. But I don't know. It seems like the jet lag seems to take longer to get over the more we keep going. That used to be, I don't think it took so many days that we fell out of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we go to England a lot because we do have our office there. This is the first time I've got to see it.
And what did you think of it?
It's beautiful. Julia has been there several times, and she goes over and stays, and I come back. But we moved it to Glastonbury about a year ago.
Right.
And it's a beautiful house. It's a three-story house. And it is part living quarters and part office for the business. And we take care of all the business in
Europe
and England and all those areas over there. Yep. So, but it's really nice. It's so beautiful and it's quiet out there.
It's a beautiful area.
Not at all like London. London is so hectic. It takes you 2 hours just to drive around London to even get out of London.
Yeah.
And you're so tired of driving by that time. But you get off to Glastonbury and it's nice and quiet. Like you said, you wouldn't believe where we have the house is only a block off
of... It's just a street over from the High Street. And High Street is... High Street, in England, the main street of any city is High Street.
Oh, that's why they all call it the same?
It's all High Street, yes.
Here we call it Main Street.
Right, it's High Street there. And this is like just... you could say it's a block. It's maybe a little bit more than that, but you're really just a block, just a street over from the main thing, and then the High Street is just right there. But you wouldn't know it. It's designed beautifully to where you really can't tell.
We were driving down it. It's where all the restaurants are, and that's where we gave our classes on
right.
that street. And there was a lot more traffic. But we go out to where the house is, and it's nice and quiet and peaceful. And you can see the tour right from the house, standing high on the hill. And it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful view, isn't it?
Yes. And the energy there is really good. I didn't know because the energy is so strong around the tour. I didn't know what it would be like to be that close to it. But, of course, it depends. We got a caller already. So it depends on, I guess, how you relate to energy.
Right.
I was going to give out the toll-free number, but it sounds like somebody's already got it.
Go ahead and do this, and then we can do that number after that.
Okay. Somebody...
Hello?
Dolores, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Earl.
Hi, Earl.
Oh, it's so nice to hear from you. I would like to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
And when I was in the 10th grade, I was laying on a sofa, and I was home from school for a week, not feeling well. I didn't eat anything for that week, and I woke up. I thought I woke up, and I went to the front door, and I opened up the door, and everything looked like... It sort of looked like magic, but I can't explain it, but because... A couple of years before that, a tree was cut down on the side of the house, but when I opened up the door, it was there.
Mm.
And I came and I just shook my head and I went back and I laid back down and I said, "Did this really happen?" And then I went back and looked out the front door and of course it wasn't there, but I experienced this weird thing that happened to me, and that was in 1970.
Uh-huh.
I was born in 1953. In 2007, I'm a carpenter, and I was building a house, and I was working on a, I was laying concrete, and one of my employees was in front of me, and I was operating the Georgia buggy, and it malfunctioned, and I couldn't control the throttle, and I couldn't stop it, and I was screaming to him to get out of the way, and finally he did, but by the time I got a chance to jump off of the Georgia buggy, it threw me up in the air, and I came down on my head, and I had a, I went to shock trauma, and I had a, what you would call a near-death experience.
Oh, okay.
Now, I never saw the light, and I want to share this with everybody. I never saw the light.
You probably
didn't.
Hit the concrete.
I'm so,
a little light.
Well, my God, I was, Dolores, I was bleeding out of my eyes. I was bleeding out of my ears. I was bleeding out of my nose. I was coughing up blood, and I told them, the guys that were working for me, I said, who called the ambulance? You know, we got Twitter support here. I got a job to do. But the ambulance came, and they took me to shock trauma, and I was fine. I never really blacked out until I was in, they gave me a CAT scan, and when I was in a CAT scan, I had a grand mal seizure, and I died, because my heart, they pulled me out of the thing, and they put the paddles on me, and they got my heart going again, and they put me in a drug-induced coma.
Uh-huh.
The whole time I was there, I never, ever experienced going to the light. But all of a sudden, I woke up, and I was above the table, and I watched myself come into my body, and I said, oh, my goodness, this hurts. This is not feeling real good.
Yeah.
And then I told them all about, you know, everything, and then I started to remember stuff. It has taken me, and this happened about in 2006, 2007, and I wanted to tell you, I'm a master carpenter. I've always been able to survive on my own, and then I got real angry. I got so angry that I told my higher self that I can't do this no more, and I need somebody to, I said, if you've got, excuse my English, because I'm going to share this with you, I said, I have the, oh my goodness, I got the balls to come here. What about you? And I was screaming and hollering at my my higher self. And I was up in my bedroom, and I saw this being come into my bedroom. Dolores, it was as white as light, the most powerful, bright white that you could look at.
Uh-huh.
But yet it didn't glow. It was just really, really bright, bright, bright white. And
just go ahead, because I've heard all of this before, and you're not the only one. This happens a lot to people. So don't feel weird.
Well, I thank you for that, because I have a friend in Germany that also saw one of these same beings, And my conclusion to this, and I need your help here, because this is what I really think, and I need to have some type of person to say, okay, that I'm not crazy. But
well, I know you're not crazy.
This is what I think. I think that I play music, okay? And I know about the 12 notes of an octave in the scale of music. I'm very gifted in music.
Nine.
And somehow I think music and the octave of vibration is connected to what I'm trying to express.
Yeah.
At a higher dimensional self of who we are, is it possible is it possible that our higher self has said go play in the lower dimensions and if you really truly get lost like I did, they'll be there to show their face? Mm-hmm. Because I had told you I hate this world. I hate the fact that, because look, Dolores, I love the fact that I love trees and the flowers and the birds and the bees, but do you think I want to play cowboys and Indians? No. Do I like what's going on with the world and everything? Jeez, it's hard to live here with all that crap.
Yeah. You don't know how many times I've heard this from people over and over again.
Oh, my God. I thank you for your work. But
let me explain.
That being that came to me, that he looked, I'm not sure it's a he, because it came to me in my bedroom. It was a whole body being. It was so bright white, like milk white light, but it was so bright, but it didn't radiate the light to make the room glow. It just radiated itself, so it didn't light up the room. It just lit up itself. And you think that was my higher self, because I was so pissed off at him for sending me here in the first place to experience this shit?
The girls have been your guide or your guardian angel. That's what they look like. And you were angry, and you wanted to talk to it. Did it talk?
Angry? Oh, my God, Dolores. You got no idea how angry I have been. I've been experiencing this world, and nobody seems to be able to get along.
But did the being...
God, I needed to talk to you.
Talk to you.
Did it talk to me? No. Because it just flashed in and flashed out, man, like a heartbeat, man. And I got a feeling that... Can I share this to you?
Yeah.
I was really, really angry and frustrated about the Catholic Church, about people getting on their knees and praying to some entity God, and I said, I will never get on my knees ever.
Yeah.
And I was meditating, and I was doing the best I could, and look, I'm still just learning here, you know, I'm just experiencing this stuff. And all of a sudden, I had this experience that I was taken into this area where it was just dark and gray, and all of a sudden, it looked like a fog. And then before I knew it, there was like a light behind these beings. And then all of a sudden there was these beings, and there was, you might think I'm crazy, but there was, because I said to myself, I would never ever get on my knees to any entity. And I think I met Jesus. people are listening to this, I think I met Jesus because I swore to myself that I would never get on my knees, and somehow I was taken into this place where it was all of a sudden I was able to see this dude. And the best way I can explain it is I think that it was Jesus, and there was like beans on both sides of him. If I count them, yeah, there was six of them on each side, so there was 12 of them, and he was in the middle.
Yeah.
And I started to walk toward him, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, this is the guy that I was taught about in all my religions. I think that I should get down on my knees. And I said, no, I'm not ever going to get down on my knees. And as soon as I said that I would never get down on my knees, he broke rank and came toward me and gave me a hug. And he said, you got it. So what am I going to explain to people about that?
Mm-hmm.
My emotional year. I was raised Catholic, and I tell you what, I think it's a bullshit.
Well, you haven't read very many of my books, have you?
No, I haven't read any of them.
Okay,
I just
all of
know
this,
that for some reason I needed to call you and talk to you.
This is all explained in my books. This happens to lots and lots and lots of people. That was your counsel. All those beings were there. That was your counsel that take care of you. And the one that came to your room was probably your main one, which is your main guard or guardian angel. And because you were so angry, he wanted to come and show you you didn't have anything to be angry about.
Yeah, and you're not alone.
Yeah, that you're not alone.
Is
the other one is your counsel.
Is this a school?
Yes, this is a school. You can't get out till you graduate. It's a long school.
If you have enough. Okay, so if I realize that every cell, every organism, every atom is part of the prime creator. And if I realize in my heart that we're all here to experience separation and be apart from part, and if I know that now in my heart, and if I look at every being and realize that they're a being that's growing and their ego is involved with their self because they can't separate the left brain from the right brain, and if I walk this earth now after what I've experienced, do you think I'm able to graduate? Because I sure would like you to hear say, yeah.
Not ready yet. You have a lot to learn before you graduate. This is a long school.
Oh, God, Dolores.
he
oh, my goodness.
You're
he
on
can
your
be a
way.
Wave, too. You can't say that. We don't have enough information.
The Earth School is the most difficult planet in the universe to live on. It's most challenging and
well,
difficult.
Don't you think that I don't already know that?
Well, you're beginning to take your baby steps anyway. At least you're asking questions, and you're beginning to find out there's a whole lot more out there than you ever knew before. So Julia likes to say the veil is lifting, because when you come in, the veil comes down, and it's the veil of forgetfulness. You forget why you're here. You forget all about God. You forget that all of this is just a game. It's just an illusion. And we have to find our way back. So the veil is thinning. A lot more people right now are becoming more aware sooner.
Yeah, but with his attitude for things, I mean, he sounds very much like a wave, and a wave doesn't follow the same.
I know, but so. It still means they're here to learn.
Yeah.
I feel I've always felt, and I've always been in a situation my whole life that I've always been put in a situation of leadership.
Uh-huh.
When I was in Scouts, they made me a patrol leader. They made me. I wasn't even qualified because I wasn't even a first class, but they made me a patrol leader. I was second class, and when we went to the Camboree, my patrol won the blue ribbon. I played music in a band back in the 60s and 70s, and we were really good. And you know what? We played Motown music, all white people with black singers, and we broke the ice between black and white people. And this was back before even the riots happened. I'm a systems buster. I know that. I came here to shake up the reality, but to realizing the fact that consciously I'm still a human being and I have
limitations.
The baggage. No, yeah. I don't have limitations anymore. I believe that the atom is 99.99% empty, so that I understand geometry, I understand sacred geometry, I understand mm-hmm. that rocks have consciousness, I understand that the trees and the mice and the birds and everything out there exist all in oneness in order for us to experience this experience. I also understand what's going on with the dark side trying to manipulate the consciousness of this planet. I came here somehow, some way. I'm trying to find out my identity. I'm a systems buster. I'm not afraid of anything that the dark side has to offer. I have no fear. But I'm still a human being, and I cry like, look at these poor, pitiful people being manipulated into a situation that to me, look, I got to tell you what, when I was in the third grade, I went to Catholic Church, and the nuns told me that you should feel sorry for them poor little people that go to public school because they can't go to heaven. You understand about how the Catholic Church has manipulated my brain, and I had to break away from that all, and I had to bury it, and I had to get rid of it, and I had to be frustrated about it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen many Catholics that come to see
I
me.
I saw Tarzan movies when I was a little kid by Warner Brothers, and they made the black people look like they were monkeys in the jungle. And I looked at black people for a lifetime looking how, and then I was one of the first people to have a black person to come sing in my band in 1967. So I'm a systems buster. I hate this world. I think it sucks. And somehow you need to connect me with people that love me, Dolores, because my education and my knowledge and my experience, I have already had a near-death experience, and I'm begging to you, please help me. I need help, because if somebody doesn't help me to let me run my mouth to the world to wake these people up.
Okay, but you're here for a reason. You chose to come to Earth. Nobody made you come. You came here to help.
I know that. And you know how many times I wanted to do myself in, but you know what? I'm not a quitter.
But you get here and people forget. That's when the veil comes down. And now we're beginning to back and become aware of what's going on. And that's where we're at right now. Everybody is getting their psychic abilities back. They're beginning to become more aware. And this is where the world is going. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. We're making now. We are changing the world, and you're a part of it if you want to be.
Well, and like you said, the systems buster. See, that's part of what you're doing. That's what's creating a lot of this new world, is because people are making changes.
Yeah, and you're right in the middle of it. You're a part of it. You have a very important role to play.
Thank you. That is.
Just remember, you're here for a reason. You came, and that could very well be the reason. Just don't get caught up in the hate and in all that part.
The fear and all
and
that.
The fear. You know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here, but it doesn't have to be that way. And it, you know, and that doesn't have to be what you look at and what you only see. Look at the beauty, because you see that too. You were talking about that, how beautiful everything is and the beautiful animals and the, you know, look at that. That's what you came here to help. Keep that in focus.
Don't get caught up in the other part, because that's for those who want to live in that kind of a world.
Right.
You don't have to live in that kind of a world. You can live in a world that's beautiful and that you are making a big help. You're making help with advances. And that's what I'm involved with, and a lot of the people who come to see me are. They found out there is hope out there, and they are making advances. Don't get caught up in this other part, the negative part, because that's the part that's not real.
I think that's the challenge of Earth. That's Game Board Earth, is, you know, are you going to get caught up? I mean, that's all there to be a distraction or to see if you will get caught up in it. And it's your choice whether you do or not. So that's just part of the playing game here.
It's just a game. That's all it
absolutely
is.
Absolutely.
That's why Julie calls it Game Board Earth. It's just a game. But it becomes real. We don't realize it. Mm-hmm. It's just a game. It's just an illusion.
We take it so seriously.
And when you step back and look at it, hey, I'm just playing a part here. What kind of part do you want to play?
And what do I want my world to be?
Because you can make your world any way you want it to be. You're not caught up in all this other junk that's out there.
Unless you want to be.
If you want to be, then
that's
nobody.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine.
That's,
if you want to
that's
be.
That's a lesson he'll learn from that,
well,
too.
That's a choice.
It's a choice. Everything is choices on Earth. But it's not that bad. It's really a very beautiful, wonderful place. And you come here to learn a lot. That's why they call it the most difficult and challenging planet of the universe to live in. But you chose it. Nobody makes you come. When you look at it from that direction, you can see how much good you're doing, how much the changes you're already making, and you don't even notice it. You don't think about it.
Right. And but what's important, though, is your guide came to you. Your whole council showed themselves to you, so you can see that you're not alone. And it's probably to help you remember exactly what's going on. You are here for a reason, and you are not alone. You've got a whole army with you.
And you could have died that night, and you didn't do it. It was trying to show you that you've got a whole lot more work to do here. That first one he talked about.
The tree. You walked out the front door.
Yeah, all that is you were changing dimensions. In my books, we cover this a lot, and I've all done it on other shows, too, that we're constantly moving in and out of dimensions. And in some dimensions, they don't look very different. But there's countless dimensions, and in some of them, a tree will be there, and then another dimension, it won't be there. Many people have reported things like this. This just means on that night or morning, whenever it was, when you opened that door, you stepped into another dimension.
I think part of it, he hadn't eaten in a week, he'd been sick, so it put him in an altered state to some degree, so that way he could see through the dimension.
He could see through much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all returned to normal once he went back and began to recover. Does this make sense to you? Or do we lose him?
Anyway, but that
is what
yeah.
it was shifting dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I hope if we did lose him, he got
right.
his answers
right.
and he heard it anyway.
Yeah. We appreciate your calling in, Earl, and we wish you the best. Don't, you know, just trust in yourself and trust in what you're doing. You're here for a reason, and you're doing it.
And you're never, ever alone. Okay, so anyway, I was about to give out the toll-free number in case someone wants to call in. Apparently, he knew the number already.
Mm-hmm.
But in case anyone else wants to call in and talk, the toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And, well, one thing we did want to bring up about the trip to Glastonbury and to, we did our class over there, was you did what you call the sacred tour?
Sacred tour after the class.
After the class was over. And tell them where you went on that.
We went to Stonehenge and Avery. We went by the Alton Barnes White Horse on the way to West Kennet Longboro.
Now, how many did you have on that bus?
I think it was 44.
44. But something very different about over there, if many of you have ever gone to Stonehenge, everything has changed. And you were just there a year ago,
yeah.
And I was there 2 years ago.
Right.
Everything has completely changed now about Stonehenge.
Yeah, well, I mean, Stonehenge itself is the same.
Yeah, the structure.
They didn't move the rocks.
They didn't change them around, but
no.
Getting there and the... What do you want to call it? The
well, those of you that were ever have ever been there, it was just a small little visitor, a little gift shop, and where you would get your ticket. Then they had a little area to park. And if you had very many people there, you had no parking. I mean, it was really hard to find a place. But then you would just walk down a path and went under the road and then...
A tunnel under
yeah.
the road and came up on the side where Stonehenge was.
Right.
And they were awful toilets and things.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it weren't very good accommodations for the, you know, people coming in.
And more people were coming all the time, especially when you had the equinoxes.
Oh, yeah, there'd be thousands of people there then. Thousands.
Because you were there at one of the equinoxes.
I was there for two different ones.
And there's just no way they could handle that many people, just getting more and more popular.
I don't think they even had that part open. The visiting thing, it's like, because it was free, so everybody just went off on over. They didn't even... They didn't have that part open. It was early in the morning.
For the equinox, they let them in free
right.
then.
Right.
But tell them what it is like now.
Well, now we were on a bus, and we were pulling up, and I'm used to, because, I mean, the highway goes right by Stonehenge, and I'm used to you're driving on that, and you can see Stonehenge long before you ever get there, and you're coming up, and then you go and park, and then you have to walk back across the street, or under the street.
Yeah, underneath
and,
the highway.
Right. And, so here we are, we're on the bus, and all of a sudden we come into a parking area, and it's like, well, where are we? And they said, we're here. And I'm like, well, we never saw Stonehenge. I'm used to seeing it on the side of the road. And there's this great big building. That was all different. And they said, yeah, that's the new center. And it's built, I'm trying to think how far we went. It was at least a mile away from
Ooh.
Stonehenge.
New visitor center?
Yeah, so a visitor center. It's got a gift shop and where you get the tickets and... Tons of restrooms. I mean, it's like this huge hangar. I mean, it's beautiful. Somebody said it was built. Oh, it was designed to look like an Australian sheep shearing thing. What that has to do with Stonehenge, I do not know.
No, I've been to Australia many times. I don't know what a sheep shearing shed looks like.
Yeah, it's like, but it's big and it's got like a sweeping roof, and I mean, it's very pretty. It's just so different, and it just opened in December, so it's very new. And but anyway, then they have a busing, a little shuttle system. You get on these little buses or trolley cars and stuff, and they'll take you over in another way. I'm not even sure. I couldn't tell where we were related to where we used to be.
Uh-huh.
But they bring you up to a point, and then you walk the rest of the way to Stonehenge. So
you don't go under the highway anymore.
No. But it could be where they brought us. Was around that point or something? I don't know. It was. I have no idea where we were. It all looked different.
Nobody could tell you.
I didn't ask. I was just trying to, you know, you just they shuttle you in here, and then you come out, and then you go get the bus, and you go back.
Huh.
And so,
do you think it's better or worse or what?
Well, the people that have been there. To someone that was with us, that he was grumbling and complaining, and he was like, it was always fine the way it was. Why did it have to be changed? But, you know, it wasn't necessarily fine. I mean, the parking wasn't sufficient. I mean, if you had very many people, it worked, but it could be done better. So I thought it was fine. It was high class now. I mean, it's just like you took something up, you know, where before it was just little
building.
It was just a little thing. It was very backwoodsy and stuff, and now it's high class.
Well, I've been hearing for years they were going to have you come in about a mile away, but I couldn't figure out how they were going to do it.
And then it was funny because then when we were driving back to the airport and we come, I said, well, this is, you know, usually you drive right by Stonehenge. And I thought, well, everything's different now. But no, we drove right by Stonehenge and there they were, the little rocks by the road.
But we were on the other side of it.
No, yeah, but this is how we normally come up on it. When
on
you when
highway.
You drive this route, but I didn't know if that was still going to be there because of the other thing, but it's still there.
Yeah. Well, they can't move the stones.
No, and they didn't move the highway. So.
Well, with more and more tourists going in there, they have to change things. So that's a big difference. So if any of you going over there, I think this would be something to think about, that it's going to be different. If you've never been there,
you won't notice anything.
You won't notice
there's
any difference.
No. It'll be like most attractions. You have a system to get in. Before there wasn't a system. Now there's a system, and we're used to that. You go and you check into the visitor center, and then you're taken there. So
okay. But don't think Avebury will ever be made modern.
I don't think so. I don't think it can be. Well, the biggest thing they did, but that was there before, they have a parking area outside of town. And then, I mean, it's just, yeah, and then you can walk in. Where the first times I was there, we drove in and you couldn't find any place to park. And that was problemsome. And then, but then this time we pulled in and we parked in a parking area. And I thought, well, I don't remember this. But then I do remember when you were there
the last time,
and we did that, it was a parking area then as well. So that parking area has been there.
Johnny, we had to walk quite a way.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a good walk to get from there into
Avebury
town.
But because Avebury is right there, the circle is right there where the town is. Mm-hmm. I don't see how they can change much about that. Mm-hmm. But it's like anything. We've been going over there. I've been going for 22 years, since the early 90s, and things will change gradually. Especially if you have more and more tourists, you've got to accommodate them.
Right.
But you were looking for crop circles, too, and at that time of the month, there just isn't.
Well, we actually saw one. It's so funny because the bus, we were pulling up, because West Kennett Longboro is really just literally next to Avebury. It was like, and they said, okay, we're just going to go a couple minutes, and we're there. And they stopped the bus, but I said, there's a circle in the crop. And I thought, oh, well, look at there. And then as they stopped the bus, somebody said, oh, crop circle. But it was just a circle. That's all there was to it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's what everybody got off the bus to go see. And I'm sitting there, and, you know, because we were actually doing some energy work on the bus. So anyway, I was sitting there thinking, well, they just gone to look at this circle. But they were just gone. I mean, they didn't come back. I thought, well, that's not enough to go spend all this time on. Then I finally realized, oh, this is where we were going. This is West Kennett Longboro. and they had a long walk to go to get there and stuff. So I didn't actually see it.
What is the Longboro? What is that?
Good. Because I went and saw the little placket because I didn't go to it. I didn't realize we were there. Basically, it's like a borough is, you know, it's like a a piece of land, or it's when they actually got it, they told me it was like a system of caves there, is what it was
underground.
In there. It was underground. On the drawing, it looked like a long piece of, like a domed land, you know, kind of, that'd be a burrow.
Like a rabbit would do,
right,
or something. It would be dig underground and make a tunnel.
And that's kind of what it looked like on the drawing. The people that went there and were explaining it, they said it was like, where you went in wasn't as big as what was there, kind of like
New Grange.
But you could see it was like a chamber of connected caves or something. And then it was really, I guess there was a lot of energy in there. On the little thing, it said that there had been 36 bodies found there, but I think what it was is after it had already been done, they later used it as a burial thing. So it had nothing to do with what it was actually
not
for.
The original.
Yeah. I didn't see that part of the tour, so I can't tell you what it actually was. So,
But a lot of times, they're not what they originally were built for anyway. Mm-hmm. With over thousands of years, they are going to move things around.
They said the energy was very powerful in there, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm planning on my next trip over there just going and doing a private tour of it.
Hmm.
Then I can tell you something about it.
Okay. Well, do you want to talk a little bit about, we had a good trip to England.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk a little bit about October. We're going to have the cruise.
Right.
Cruise of the Mediterranean.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And it's really, you know, we do conferences and love to do cruises. And this is, we thought, well, let's just see, because we did a class before on the cruise.
Yeah.
And we've done some workshops on a cruise.
Last year we did the one on the Panama Canal cruise.
Right, and then a couple years ago we did on the Mediterranean cruise, we did some workshops with different people. And so it's like we're stepping it up, we're just trying to see what it would be like to have
a conference.
And so we're having speakers doing talks, but then they're also doing some workshops. So we have a combination, so you can get a lot of good material from very good people. And then we have like 8 ports. I mean, it's something like 8 excursions going on, you know. Because it's 11-day cruise. We have 3 days at sea, and that's when we're doing the conference. And then there's, we're doing something every day. So it'll be 8 excursions, and that's all included.
Yeah, this is interesting. A lot of times you go on a cruise, you want to go ashore and see, you think you have to pay extra for the tour.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's all included in the one price. You pay one price, that takes care of the whole thing.
Takes care of all your excursions, all the talks, all the workshops, all the meals, all your rooms, and it even includes an extra night after the cruise at this 5-star hotel in Rome. And we're still trying to finalize this, but Robert Bavall may do a lecture there on his latest book on the Vatican, so that's why I'm in Rome.
It's going to be right there.
If he doesn't do that, then we'll have another excursion there. So, I mean, it's just full of activity.
And it's all concluded,
mm-hmm.
Which is very unusual for any cruise to do that. And the cruise begins in Istanbul. So all you have to do is get over to Istanbul, get on the ship, and it docks, it ends in Rome.
Right.
You go to Istanbul and you come home from Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really exciting, and we have a lot of good speakers.
Yes. We have Robert Bavall, and he'll be doing a couple of different talks.
You know, his specialty is Egypt.
Right.
And we've had him before on the show, and I think we have, and we've
mm-hmm.
talked about him. He was at our conference. But he talks about ancient Egypt and what he's done, the explorations there. He's written many books, and the latest one is about the Vatican, all the secrets that have been hidden there. And then we're going to have Guy Needler,
right,
who is one of our very popular authors. We published 4 of his books, and he'll be speaking on the main one, The History of God. And then who else we're going to have?
Maria Wheatley.
Maria Wheatley, mm-hmm. who is a very famous dowser.
Right.
And we published her father's book, which was The Essential Dowsing Guide. But she knows so much about these ancient sites and about the energies. She could feel the energy.
Right. Well, she was leading the tour, the sacred tour. She was leading it. And, I mean, her wealth of information is just amazing. I mean, what she knows is amazing.
About these sacred
mm-hmm.
sites and all that. And she's very much into like a lot of the hidden information.
Right.
Hidden knowledge. And she's going to be on the cruise.
And
who else? There's going to be
you.
Yeah. And you.
And me. Uh-huh. And Vitaly's going to do a talk also.
Yeah.
But
those are going to be packed into the 3 days. And the rest of the time, I'll see where we're going to go. We're going to start in Istanbul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have some of the ports incorrect, so I'm going to correct you if you do it. Okay. I need to see a map here. I'll get it.
Well, the one port that we are a little worried about, we're supposed to go to the Holy Land. It's because they're calling it the Holy Land Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to go to the Holy Land.
Right.
But with all the violence over there right now in Israel, we're not sure what's going to happen there.
Yeah, but we know, I mean, the cruise lines never stop if there's a problem. They'll go on to something else. We'll go to someplace else. We may go to Egypt. We may go, I mean, they'll create another plan. So it's not like there will be an issue. It's not like they're going to drop us in this in a volatile situation. It won't happen.
No, because they want to go anywhere if there's any danger. But they'll take us to some good ports anyway. But I was trying to think, what are the other ports? We didn't bring that paper in here.
Right. Well, anyway, it goes to Ephesus. That's the first stop.
Yeah, we were there before.
Mm-hmm.
That's where what they call Mary's house is supposed to be, where she lived, Mary the mother of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a problem with that.
Okay, talk about it.
Because it's based on my work, she never lived in Turkey. But we went there to see what it looked like, and it was just a little bitty, well, for those days, I guess they said it would have been a big house. It wasn't much bigger than a very small house today. It looked like it didn't have more than about two rooms in it. But the amazing thing that I thought was about it was that they said they called it Mary's house because a nun had had a vision that this was where it was.
Yeah.
And it was way up on top of this hill. The bus had to take us all the way up there. It was
beautiful. Beautiful scenery.
Well, they was all there. They said when they found that it was just a remains, right. And they had built it up the way it was supposed to look in those days. But here the church has always said, the Catholic Church all these years, that they don't believe in visions. Anybody who has a vision has to be working with the devil. And nobody can be psychic. Nobody can see things. But yet they have credited this nun was having a vision that this was Mary's house where she lived.
Right.
And there's even a picture of the nun in the house.
Yeah.
So that's where I have a problem with the whole thing. Is that the church being a contradictory or what? Saying one thing and then practicing another, which they do all the time anyway. But definitely not. I don't think it's Mary's house.
Oh, well.
Everybody likes it. There's a wall right outside of it where everybody puts notes, sticks them in the cracks of the wall.
The prayer wall?
Yeah, you can write something down, and you stick it in the wall, and it's supposed to be answered. So it had a lot of very good feelings and emotion, and there was a lot of very religious people there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I just, according to what I've found in my work, Mary never went to Turkey. But that's up for grabs. It's still an interesting place to see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I liked in Ephesus was we took us to where they make the rugs. That was a school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where they're teaching these young girls how to make the rugs by hand, tying all the little tiny knots.
Yeah, they said it was a dying art.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a dying art that they're trying to teach the young girls how to do it. Otherwise, machines have taken it over.
Right.
So they took us there, and if you bought any rugs there, the government ships them back, tax. They won't even charge you for shipping.
No shipping.
Because they want people to buy things there, because this really helps the young girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought a really beautiful rug back. Mm-hmm. And when somebody saw it in my office, they said, oh, that's a Persian rug. And I said, no, it's not. They said, yes, it is. They turn it over looking at the Persian rug. No, it's a Turkish rug. But it must be very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's a lot of interesting things in Ephesus. Now, what are the other ones then?
Okay. Then at Haifa in Israel. And then Jerusalem. It says here, is it Ashdod? Anyways, Haifa and Jerusalem. And then it goes to Malta.
Well, I've never been to Malta yet.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm most excited about is Malta.
Well, I would like to see Jerusalem, just to say I've been there.
Right. That's one of those bucket list things.
Yeah, because I'm interested in the, you know, the temple is long gone, but they have the Wailing Wall, part of the Wailing Wall. But it would still be interesting to see it and say we've been to Jerusalem.
Right.
But that's going to depend on things that are out of our control. It's going to depend on the war that's going on.
Yeah, what's going on there. Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see that. And also, yes, I'm interested in seeing Malta.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell them about Malta?
Well, all I know about Malta, yeah, it's just off of Italy. There's a very small island, but what someone was telling us, because they were inviting you to come over and do a class.
Oh.
And that was when we were working on setting some things up in Egypt, and they were like, but we have things here that are older than the pyramids and older, so they have a lot of ancient sites there, yeah, and so that's what I'm interested to see, what's there.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there.
It's amazing how many places we've been that are older than the pyramids.
Right. Well, and another thing I thought it was funny was when Maria was doing her tour, she was talking about, so I guess she was, is it an archaeologist or what is it, that one that time everything? Is that the archaeologist?
One to dig up the ground.
Okay,
yeah.
So apparently she went to archaeology school. Okay, so she's an archaeologist. And she was talking about how they date things, how they determine things, and it's all... I said, they don't know.
Uh-huh.
And they always take the earliest date, like the latest date, for the soonest time. They won't take the oldest date because that one never jives with accepted history.
Yeah.
And so, it's like that. So they don't ever give that one when that's the real. That may be closer to the real one. You know. And she's talking about, well, then you have, because they do it by, it's a sampling of the dirt. You know, it's how they can age, but you have worms and you have things like that stir up the dirt, so that can even affect it more. And so it's like, they don't know.
Yeah.
But so then,
I know that a lot of places, they don't want you to mess with the history.
Right.
They don't want you to find things that are older because they've got their accepted date line for their history, and they don't want that.
Exactly.
Thing.
I mean, that's the way for the earth. No, it's only this old. And anything else that you find, it's like, no, that just doesn't work. It doesn't compute. No.
And I found lots. With all these travels, we found lots of things that are old.
Right.
Much older than the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the fun of this.
Right.
And then from Malta, we go into Italy, don't we? Or
right.
Messina, is that Sicily?
That's Sicily. And then it goes into Naples.
Yeah.
Sicily, Naples, and then Rome.
Yeah. I think at Naples, if you want to take a side trip to Pompeii, you can.
Yeah.
It's right around there.
Yeah.
Then back to Rome, and they get the night in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's all paid for, too.
Mm-hmm. It's all included, yeah.
So this sounds like it's really going to be a really nice tour.
Oh, absolutely.
So if anybody is interested, tell them what they have to do.
Well, we have the more information is on the Ozark Mountain website, so it'd be ozarkmt.com or ozarkmt.com, and it's just on the event, and then it'll instruct you eventually to call into our office to actually book the cruise. You know, we have people trained here to deal with all your questions and to get everything lined up for you.
And even our office in England can handle this.
Right. But all that information is on the website.
It tells you what's going on. And,
gives
how
you a list
to
of everything. What to do.
You have different kinds of staterooms. Okay. So anyway, that's we want to tell people about that because I think they'll be excited to go.
Absolutely.
I love cruises.
Yeah. Cruises are fun. I mean, they're a great way to vacation and a great way to see things.
Because you don't have to go from hotel to hotel and go on tours, get guides, and just stay on the ship.
Yeah, for about the same price as you would pay to go and stay in a hotel and then still have to pay to see everything around it. It's like you're on a floating hotel, and it's taking you to all the sites, and all of that's included, and the food's included. I mean, it always works out to where it's less expensive to do a cruise
than
to to do it and monkeys
tour,
in the other way. Yeah.
To do the other way. Mm-hmm. And the food is, it's 24 hours, 24/7, food.
And it's good food.
Yeah.
It's very, it may not be good food, but it's nice tasting food.
So anyway, anybody who's interested, contact our website, and they'll be able to help you with this. Okay. Well, I think it's coming to time for us to stop. I don't want to go over. Last time he had to pull the plug and get me out of there. Okay. So I want to say thank you for everybody from tuning in tonight. We're back now, so for the next few weeks, we'll be live.
And thank you, Earl, for your input, and we appreciate you calling in.
Okay. So thanks, everyone, for listening tonight. Good night, everybody.
Make it great.